My name is Vince Colonnaise. I'm sitting alongside Emily Miller in for the vacationing Mary Walter. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Appreciate all your help so far this week. You'll be back tomorrow as well.
Well, do you want to... You've had the worst day ever. You were just telling me in break about a flood at 2 a.m.
Not even worth exploring right now. I'm just going to drink...
His house flooded at 2 a.m. is the short version.
I'm going to drink away my sorrows with another cup of coffee. Sarah Westwood is the most important thing right now, though, because she's here and joining us on Mornings on the Mall, and it's always good to have you with us, Sarah, from the Washington Examiner. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Sarah. So
I want to jump into all this politics news, which is to say, the President of the United States yesterday comes out and makes this statement. I just want to quickly play the audio of the president making a clarifying statement on what has been multiple statements over the weekend about Charlottesville.
Racism is evil. And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
Was that statement in any way enough for the president's critics yesterday, Sarah?
Well, I think that there are a segment of his critics that were not going to be satisfied no matter what the president said. But that's the kind of statement that obviously he should have given on Saturday immediately following the violence. And the fact that he equivocated for 2 days and withheld that condemnation until he was already facing so much criticism, it undermines the sincerity of the moment, and it made it so that there was basically nothing he could say to right the wrong his critics viewed in the fact that he waited so long to make that kind of statement.
And he tweeted yesterday that he was basically upset with the press. This was later in the afternoon, saying no matter what he does, they're always going to find fault with him, and he's just called them bad people.
Well, that's not wrong, at least the part about the press never being satisfied
right.
with anything that he does. But certainly it didn't help the situation because there were a lot of groups and media pundits included that genuinely felt like the president made the situation worse by refusing to stand up and call out the groups by name that were responsible for the violence. And then obviously any time that he's attacking the press's personality and motives in a way that can upset the media, it's not going to help his coverage suddenly improve.
Well, the other big story going on in the White House, part of the palace intrigue, is what's going to happen with Steve Bannon. What are you hearing?
Well, what we're hearing is that this is by far the most serious challenge so far to Steve Bannon's role. I recall that in the early days of the administration, he faced some friction with Reince Priebus, the former chief of staff. They smoothed it over and actually sort of formed this alliance of convenience. They became very close by the time Priebus was ousted from the White House. Then, as you know, Bannon had a rift with Jared Kushner over influence and access, and the two of them also walked it off. They became, functional.
Hugged it out.
Relationship.
Right.
But now this rift between Bannon and H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, it's not over influence. It's not over access. It's over ideological differences. Right. Policy. And Bannon and H.R. McMaster come to the table with such diametrically opposing worldviews. It's really hard to see how that ever can get smoothed out. It's something and nothing that a walk in the Rose Garden or, a fireside chat can fix. It's sort of an existential threat to one of them. And it seems like everyone in the West Wing and outside the West Wing is coming out in support of H.R. McMaster.
Sarah, you said it was animated by policy differences, but what we're seeing in the public seems to be, in this proxy war, very personal type of attacks. Over the weekend, there was a report that there was going to, by Axios, I believe, that there was going to be a big push to frame H.R. McMaster as a raging alcoholic.
Which is, by the way, not true at all.
That this is a personal issue of his that's making him somewhat more detestable or something. And again, Steve Bannon seems to have been blamed for much of that drama.
Right. As a reporter, I can tell you that those kinds of stories have been passed to me. I'm sure they're going around Washington right now, allies of Bannon or people aligned with his worldview trying to push that line on McMaster.
Huh.
And it is getting personal. It is getting messier than we've seen any of the other palace intrigue stories. But I think that's because it's rooted in a genuine, unsolvable disagreement over policy. And
Sarah, I just want to ask a quick follow-up. You mentioned you're hearing things like this. Can you tell us whether or not people within Bannon's orbit are the types that are pushing it to you?
Well, it's just one of those things that's going around. I don't really want to say too much about it.
You're sourcing.
I think that there is evidence that it is getting personal, that people potentially aligned with the Bannon worldview are pushing stories about McMaster that would be hard to verify, but that are an indication it's getting much better.
All right, well, you can't hold it against me for trying to make some news here. Okay,
go ahead, Emma. Sarah, I just want your thoughts on this. I mean, in any administration, president does put together cabinet and advisors with different worldviews and different perspectives so that he can hear from both sides and hear where the Bannon being a more nationalist, McMaster being a globalist, and using their terms, using actually Bannon's terms. If the president stood in and said, look, I want to hear from both of you. Let's go to the Situation Room. I want to hear everyone's perspective. Why does it have to be one or the other?
I think that because of all the attention that's been drawn to the rift, how it was described to me is something that started out as this professional disagreement that because of the media circus and both sides' attempts to orchestrate negative stories about the other, it became very personal. It's becoming harder and harder for the two to work together in any capacity, and it is becoming a him or me situation. And the president is only publicly coming out on behalf of one
right.
of those men.
And we don't hear Bannon in public. We heard McMaster over the weekend dodging on questions of whether or not he can continue to work in a White House alongside Steve Bannon. Also talking about this, Anthony Scaramucci was on with Stephen Colbert last night and had some remarks about Bannon.
Who's leaking now? Is it Steve Bannon?
Well, I've said that. I mean, I've been pretty open about that. I said he was, and I obviously got caught on tape saying he was, so I have no problem saying that.
Okay.
But
is he going to be gone in a week?
That's up to the president. But
what do you think? What does the mooch think?
Well, if it was up to me, he would be gone.
Okay.
But it's not up to me.
All right, so there's Anthony Scaramucci's addition to that conversation. I want to move real quickly, Sarah, to this last item, which is that Joe Arpaio is being floated for a possible pardon from the president of the United States. What are you hearing about
He's
that?
He's the ex-sheriff in Arizona,
That's
just to
right.
clarify.
Right. We know that the president told Fox News in an interview in Bedminster that he's considering this pardon. Obviously, it would be hugely controversial if he pardoned Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Sheriff Joe became sort of a boogeyman for the left when it came to a crackdown on immigration. And so for President Trump to go out of his way to pardon someone who has been in serious legal trouble would really just fuel the sense that President Trump doesn't have respect for the rule of law that's already kind of been spun up through the unrelated Russia situation. So that would obviously be a big flashpoint for the president if he decided to go that direction.
Yeah, Arpaio was found guilty 2 weeks ago of criminal contempt for defying a state judge's order to stop traffic patrols targeting suspected undocumented immigrants. The president talking about him.
And Sarah, I'm just following the president's movements, and he's tweeting from his Trump Tower where he said he hasn't been in 7 months. What's he doing today?
Well, today he'll be talking about infrastructure with a panel. So it is interesting because he has some much bigger ticket legislative items that are stalling in the forms of health care and tax reform, and yet he seems to be continuing to move on towards infrastructure. Remember that a couple months ago, the White House conducted an infrastructure week where they focused really hard on what they said would be a forthcoming infrastructure package. We haven't seen it yet, but today will be all about infrastructure. The president says he has an announcement on the topic.
Right.
So I guess they think that they can add a third item to the legislative agenda here at the end of the year.
Meanwhile, among his tweets, he just retweeted Fox and Friends saying that he is seriously considering a pardon for our Joe Arpaio. And also, Big Day in Alabama, vote for Luther Strange. He will be great.
He's gone all in on Luther Strange.
Just minutes ago now. Okay, thank you, Sarah Westwood from the Washington Examiner.
Thanks,
for your additions to the Mornings on the Mall this morning.
Thank you.
All right.